This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, I'm Glenn Pugh for AvWeb.com. On May 9, 2011, a number of California airport FBOs and fuel suppliers were issued notices of violation from the state's Attorney General and the Center for Environmental Health, CEH. That action has since been followed with a notice of intended lawsuit. At issue is nothing less than the sale of leaded aviation fuel and lead contained in aircraft emissions, and the stakes have attracted the interest of the National Air Transportation Association, which has taken up the cause on behalf of aviation interests in the state. We're speaking today with NATA Vice President of Government and Industry Affairs, Eric Beyer, who is joined by attorney Andy Steinberg of Jones Day. Steinberg is previously the chief counsel of the FAA and assistant secretary of aviation at the U.S. Department of Transportation. He represents a coalition of the affected businesses in this case. Gentlemen, thanks for making the time.
Thank you.
Now, I've tried to give a very general picture here, but what exactly is going on? What is California trying to accomplish here? Eric?
Good question, Glenn. First, there are about three different notices that were issued, and they follow kind of a regulatory framework that's called Proposition 65 that was offered up back in the mid-'80s. And essentially what these notices are doing is they're informing the businesses that have been named that they are likely to be sued because they are selling aviation gasoline that contains lead. And so right now what we are trying to do is piece together all these different entities, and they range from small and medium-sized fixed-based operators up to the bigger chains and through the distributors and up to the oil companies. So we've kind of come in and try to put all these groups together and identifying the best legal representation, which we have with Andy. And now we're trying to piece together kind of a number of different legal steps to ensure that their business interests are protected.
Thanks, Eric. And Andy, what is Prop 65? I understand that's a key part of this.
Sure. So Prop 65, also known as the Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Enforcement Act, was passed in 1986 in California, and its goal, which is laudable, is to protect drinking water sources from toxic substances. And it's administered by the California Office of Environmental Health and Hazard Assessment. But one of the most prominent aspects of Prop 65 is that it's an enforcement statute that can be enforced either by the state attorney general, other state officials, or by private citizens. And what's going on in this case is you have a non-governmental organization called the Center for Environmental Health, which has served the notices that you mentioned. And the notices basically say that unless the state attorney general files first, that they will initiate a lawsuit in July. We've since gone to court, filed a complaint against CEH and the state attorney general seeking an injunction against their proceeding with Prop 65 for reasons that I'll explain. But the net result of that was that the Center for Environmental Health has agreed not to bring this lawsuit against our clients until the judge, a federal judge, Ishii in Fresno, California, has ruled on our motion. And the state attorney general has also agreed not to file suit until they give us at least a month's additional notice. That's where it stands right now.
Well, and back to Eric now. What is NATA's, NATA's involvement here? What have they done so far? Why are they involved?
Yeah, I mean, we represent all the businesses that have been named in these notices, so it's been kind of a natural fit for NATA to go out there and corral everybody, if you will, instead of individually going out there and hiring legal counsel, which would be very costly. What we've done is kind of put everybody together under one coalition that we've kind of helped facilitate and help generate revenue to pay for legal fees that are being incurred by Andy, and Andy's going to be our representative along with his partner, Tom, out in San Francisco. And the idea is for us to make sure that we kind of keep the train on the tracks, if you will. Make sure that we get everybody in the room under one heading. We have most of the businesses that are named in these notices, and to ensure that every step that's followed through, we're there to make sure that everybody's participating, has a voice in the discussion, and the ultimate decision as to what steps we need to take legally and then hopefully have this thing go away if we can.
Why is this going down now? From my understanding, Prop 65, it's been around since the mid-80s, and leaded aviation fuel, it's not like that's a new thing. So what's the sudden motivation as far as you can tell? Eric?
That's a great question. I don't know. It certainly couldn't happen at a worse time. I mean, you've got an industry, especially from the general aviation side, that has been recovering, and between that and the president and his kind words last week, it couldn't really come at a worse time. I mean, you've got a lot of small businesses that are still struggling. What the impetus is for CEH to go ahead and offer these notices, we don't know. But we do know one thing. We've got to defend ourselves and make sure these businesses continue to operate.
So let me jump in there. This is Andy. Obviously, we don't know what prompted this notice to be issued at this time. But Prop 65, you know, has been, unfortunately, a growth industry in and of itself for plaintiffs' firms and others in California. And so these lawsuits have become ubiquitous. Prop 65, as I mentioned before, you know, it's an enforcement statute. It has two components. One is to require a warning of potentially hazardous chemicals and products, and the other is to prevent the discharge of them. Many people, many observers believe the statute's been abused, but whether or not that's true, it's certainly the case that there are a lot of Prop 65 lawsuits.
Well, how many FBOs and airports are named in this suit? Does the suit cover all the fuel vendors and FBOs in the state of California? Eric?
No, it does not. I mean, from what we've seen in the couple of notices that we've been witness to, we have a little more than 36 companies that have been named at, you know, between 70 and 85 or so locations around the state. So not every FBO is named. It only pertains to those that are selling AFGAS from what we've seen.
Okay, well, when this...
But most of the major airports, I would say, in California have been... Yes. Listed.
Well, if this case went to court, which I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, is still an if at this point, if the case went to court, would the outcome set precedent that could potentially either stop or encourage similar actions in other states?
I'll defer to Andy on that one.
Yeah. So let me first explain where it stands now and then what would happen if it went to court. So we have filed a lawsuit in federal court in Fresno to prevent the use of Prop 65 to regulate the content of lead in aviation gasoline. We're hopeful that the judge will agree with us and that in October, when he decides our motion for a preliminary injunction, that he will prevent the misuse of Prop 65. And as the lawsuit explains, yeah, this whole area is so completely regulated by the federal government, and the issue of what to do here about lead in gas, aviation gasoline is very much at play in front of both the FAA and EPA, that there really is no room for state law and enforcement. That's the gist of our lawsuit. If for any reason we're not successful, then either the CEH, this non-governmental institution in California, sent the notices, or the Attorney General may end up filing a Prop 65 lawsuit, and we would then defend it under the statute. While other states really don't have the equivalent of Prop 65, there is an important issue here, and that is state law regulation of aviation, and in particular, environmental issues with respect to aviation, which largely are left to the federal government under our, you know, statutory and regulatory scheme. So, yeah, that's the kind of precedent that I think we're worried about. It's not as if folks don't care about the issue or not trying to do something. It's really a matter of who gets to decide this. Is this going to be decided by plaintiff's firms in a California court, or is it going to be decided by the EPA and the FAA?
Eric, let's get some statistics out here. How many airports, pilots, and general aviation aircraft are there in the state of California, by your count?
Yeah, good question, Glenn. I mean, the Alliance for Aviation Across America has got some great data. You know, right now there are 254 public use airports in the state of California, 219 of which are GA airports. There's nearly 100,000 pilots, according to their latest numbers, 99,594 pilots that utilize over 37,000 general aviation aircraft. And, you know, GA accounts for more than 80% of the operation statewide. So it's obviously an enormous industry in the state of California. There's, by all accounts, aviation is about 1.7 million jobs in the state of California and generates a little over $18 billion. And I think the key here is to kind of list through some of these, you know, the GA businesses that are ultimately all going to be affected. You know, there's nearly 70 flight schools that operate almost 500 aircraft, and that's 1,000 jobs right there. So you're pretty much taking those guys and pushing them aside if they're saying we're to succeed. You've got over 200 charter operators, over 650 repair stations, diesel fraction provider out there, and then you have almost 235 FBOs in the state. So it's a big, big part of the industry, and if you were to sit there and say, hey, we're going to, you know, force everybody to no longer sell Avcas, I mean, you're crippling the FBOs. You're almost wholly eliminating the flight schools. You know, obviously the maintenance side of things where they repair these aircraft, you know, gets hit pretty hard. It's a domino effect that could be really crippling to the entire GA segment of the industry out there.
Eric, when I hear something like that, I have to say this strikes me as one of those just bizarre exercises of the law that's happening for the sake of the law and really little else. I suppose what I mean by that is I can't imagine the state would actually shut down all general aviation, lead avgas burning activities, turn away aviation business, and just grin and bear the consequences of that. Is that outcome what they're shooting for here, or is there something else going on that we don't see? Andy?
Yeah, so the notice says that they will settle if our clients and the other companies listed agree to stop selling aviation gasoline and to provide warnings. That's obviously a complete non-starter and is absurd, you know, and bizarre, as you mentioned. We're not going to let that happen. The state of California, certainly private citizen enforcers, don't have any right to shut down aviation activities because those are regulated by the federal government. And that is quite clear, you know, under long-established precedent. Only the federal government gets to decide aviation safety matters. And in particular, under the Clean Air Act, only the federal government gets to decide matters having to do with aircraft emissions. So it isn't, I think, plausible that that could happen. You know, most Prop 65 cases are settled after they get beyond this sort of preliminary stage with minimal penalties paid and pretty generous attorney's fees. I won't speculate as to the particular motives of this organization. But I don't think that outcome, the state of California would shut down general aviation activities, is in any way, you know, plausible here based on the governing federal law.
Well, you've touched on this, but what about the FAA and EPA? Aren't they working together right now with a coalition of general aviation interests to try and resolve the issue of lead in avgas in a way that doesn't affect safety, that will be acceptable to these sorts of concerns? Isn't that going on right now?
I'll answer that first, and then I'll let Eric sure. jump in, because Eric is very familiar with the activities of the Aviation Gas Coalition and what they're doing. But the FAA has a rulemaking committee consisting of industry and government representatives that's actively looking at this right now. It was just convened earlier this year, and the EPA has an advance notice of a proposed regulation that they issued last year. So it is being actively worked on by the federal government. And yeah, the basic point here is that there's a reason for lead in aviation gasoline, and that's because lead is really, at this point, the only ingredient or additive that has been shown to prevent engine knock and failure. And obviously that is indispensable to safe flight.
Eric?
Yeah, that's Andy spot on with that. And, you know, the rulemaking committee the aviation rulemaking committee has been ongoing for a little more than 12 months now. NETA has played an integral role in that, along with AOPA and EAA and GAMA and a number of other industry partners. And stakeholders, and the other part here is Congress. I mean, Congress has been pretty active in saying through report language, statutory language, and other avenues to say, look, this is a federal issue. We're going to fund and authorize ways where we can find alternative fuels, and, you know, it's clearly under the purview of the federal government, and I think that's one of the stronger points of our side in defending yourself against the notices.
Well, with that in...
Can I add something to that?
Go ahead, Andy, yeah.
You asked, why is this happening now? It really couldn't happen at a worse time. From the federal government's point of view, in my estimation, when you have the two agencies actively working on this, what happens if a Prop 65 lawsuit proceeds and somehow sets different standards than the ones the federal government would be adopting. It's just completely, inappropriate. And that's why, one of the reasons why our clients filed this lawsuit, to prevent a state from usurping the role of the federal government in dealing with this important national issue and adopting, achieving a uniform national solution.
What's next? And where do we go from here? Andy, you first, and then Eric, please finish up with some final thoughts for us.
Well, as I mentioned, the Judge Ishii in Fresno has set a hearing date for October the 3rd of this year on our client's request for a preliminary injunction. We've already filed our initial briefs, and the other side, the CEH and the California Attorney General, will get to file their briefs in mid-September. If I'm not mistaken, and it is likely that the judge will rule on our motion before October the 28th of this year.
Eric, your thoughts from NATA's perspective?
Yes. No, I think the other thing here that is important is that we get the support of the folks like the Environmental Protection Agency and the FAA and some members of Congress and other political and civic leaders and groups that represent small business owners. I mean, these are a lot of folks that cannot afford to have something like this go through where their business is essentially taken away from them. So we're going to be pretty active in going out there and soliciting that kind of support and ensuring that everybody understands just how big and important this is and how it really should never happen, because you're going to cripple a very important part of the general aviation industry, especially in the state of California.
We've been speaking with NATA's Vice President of Government and Industry Affairs, Eric Beyer, and NATA's acting attorney on this case, Andy Steinberg of Jones Day. Steinberg is former chief counsel of the FAA and former assistant secretary of aviation at the U.S. Department of Transportation. I'm Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.